You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
I just want to remind you guys that we're brought to you in partnership with LastWordOnSports.com. You can listen to us through their YouTube, their iTunes channel. You can also listen to us and find us on W2M Network. It's Wrestling to the Max. You can follow them on Facebook. And you can follow us. Well, you can email us directly at RunningWildPodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at RunningWildLWOS. Follow me on LWOSRich on Twitter. And you can also find my articles over at LastWordOnSports.com/wrestling. All right. So we are in the thick of things. Saturday afternoon, right after NXT. You want to get things started, man?
Nah, I don't want to talk about wrestling today. There's not much to say about NXT other than it was phenomenal.
Wait, AJ was there?
Top to bottom, it was just an amazing show. I mean, like, we go into NXT with such high hopes and such, like, confidence, you know, how these guys are going to kill it and everything's going to be good, and yet it still surpasses it every single time.
I got to say, I don't think that I've seen so much of Nakamura. A lot of his mannerisms in the ring are odd. Like, when him and Zayn were going back and forth with those, elbows to their jaw type thing, Zayn was staggered, right? But the way Nakamura would stagger was like he was like some sort of like weird. I don't know. His reactions are it's not bad. It's just very different, you know.
So EJ was here watching it, and he said that Nakamura is like a Japanese Dalton Castle, and like to an extent, I see exactly where that's coming from because of what you just mentioned. His mannerisms and the way his arms and his legs, they're like jiggy. Like, they don't go straight. Like, they always have some type of it's so cool to see him on the WWE production, you know, because you don't get to see that quality on New Japan. So, that match was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. When Zayn was going for the, jumping through the, I don't know, what do you call that?
The turnbuckle DDT.
So I'm watching it with Statwife, and I'm like, oh, you know, I kept telling her to watch stuff, and she was like, you know, she's looking at her phone. This one, I was like, yo, stop. Look now. This move is amazing.
Yeah, it's hard to get people to watch NXT. It really
is. Then he just kicked him in the fucking head. I hate you, Nakamura. Like, I wanted that spot. I love that spot. Like, I know it's predictable.
It was so brilliant. it was just a perfect stop to it. Like, Zayn, how he just kind of laid there for a second and then was kind of just, like, groggy falling out of it. Well, it was perfect. And, like, it's a testament to how good Sami Zayn is that he's able to tell that underdog story and, you know, just make you care so much.
The crowd was so sick. And what I liked about this crowd was I feel like the Brooklyn crowd at Raw and even at NXT TakeOver, the one right before SummerSlam, I just felt like they go into business for themselves a little bit. It's just kind of annoying. There's always one point in the night where I kind of get annoyed with the crowd.
I don't think that happened at TakeOver, though. Raw, 100%. But, like, yeah, the same thing with Raw after WrestleMania and that kind of thing. But usually the NXT crowd is a diehard crowd, and they don't do that.
Crazy.
The Fight Forever was just an awesome chant.
The all right, I mean, so I was surprised that the Samson Cruz match wasn't there. So that got pushed to Dark Show, not Dark Show. What am I talking about? Yeah, whatever. Dark Mania. So that wasn't there, which, you know, is fine because I wasn't that was the match that we both, like, right?
It was when it was Bayley and Asuka. I was like, oh, okay, you know, they'll throw in Cruz and
cool
Samson here, you know, whatever. And then they just started showing the Joe and Balor package, and I was like, wait, what? What happened to that match? I watched the pre-show. I didn't see it. Okay, unless I just didn't pay attention, I don't know how I missed it. I wouldn't have missed a wrestling match during that.
The thing about that is also that I feel like that crowd didn't get a go to the bathroom moment. When do you go to the bathroom? Like without, and I don't, no offense, Apollo, I know you're listening. I'm sorry. I like your work. But listen, that match would have been perfect there. So that, because I mean, all those great matches back to back, it's 2 hours sitting, you know, and it was late too. I mean, it was, not for that crowd, I guess. I mean, the 10 to 12 thing going on.
Yeah, that was bad. I don't like that at all.
So then you had the tag team match kick things off, which,
yeah,
you know, it felt like that match. So I don't know why, but I decided to like look at, I'd already watched it, but I was looking up online to find what happened to the Cruz match. And I started seeing the times of the actual match length.
Uh-huh.
I felt like each match came off as longer because they just felt real back and forth. Like at one point, I felt the Revival was going to win. I thought the hot tag had already been made. See, and it felt like it was, I don't know.
Now here's the beauty of NXT is, every match of the night, I felt like both guys were going to win. There was not one match where I didn't know or I knew the finish. The Aries came out of nowhere. You know, I knew Nakamura was going to win, but throughout the match, who knows? That was such a crazy match, I could have seen it going anyway.
I didn't realize that it was going to be Zayn's farewell.
Oh, well, I knew that too, but either way, it didn't. You know, like, Zayn fought Cesaro, and he lost. So, like, it didn't necessarily have to end any certain way.
Then you had, after the tag team match,
I want to ask you if you realize this, what the finish to Bayley, Asuka, and Balor Joe haven't come.
Bayley, what they had in common?
Yep.
So Baylor kicked off the rope.
Yep.
And caught him. Maybe I'm getting foggy because that's the last one I watched before I went to sleep. The Asuka match. I mean,
she made Bayley pass out.
Oh yeah. So
what do they have in common?
I don't know.
They were both the finish to Austin Stone Cold, Austin Brett. Survivor Series, Brett kicked off the ropes.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania, Austin passed out.
That's
kinda,
really weird.
Kind of weird, right? That both of those finishes were back-to-back.
I could just hear a Stone Cold. Well, you know, in this business, you know, good finishes get used again, you know, and
we told a hell of a story in those matches. I'm not surprised.
In this business. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Business.
100%.
It's so many times. I think officially we need to start doing that.
Just more talk about talking the business.
Did you hear, I was listening to GP, this is just an intro, a quick thing, that one of the things that's not allowed to be brought into NXT, I mean to the rest of WrestleMania, was,
boy, fanny did not packs. Listen to the yes. I heard that. That was awesome.
And that
they
just
said how are all the wrestlers going to get in?
Oh man! All right. So then the Alpha match was great. I was really happy with the way it went. The dueling Germans was cool.
The what match? I'm sorry.
During the tag team title match. Oh, the dueling Germans.
Yeah. Yeah, and when they tried to grab onto each other and, like, stop it from happening, that was cool. And, like, when he crawled underneath the ring and grabbed Jordan, like, the revival was just so smart, man. They're such good heels. That was
amazing.
And, like, you know, just exactly like we kind of predicted, I believe, you know, the American Alpha was that team to put an end to the revival's tactics and all that. And now they got to find new ways to cheat and win. So that'll be good, you know, that makes for good stories. It makes for good TV. American Alpha is hot as hell right now. The crowd loves them. So, you know, roll with it.
And by the way, I just want to ruin something for our listeners and for you. Looking under the ring apron, just so you know, I always assumed that it was dark, that you couldn't see anything, and that, like, you know, it would be impossible to maneuver. I can tell you, and we don't have a lot of time to cover this, so we'll talk about it, I guess, next episode. But I did my little ref thing, and I looked under the ring yesterday, and I was like, it is so easy to, like, I actually had to. One guy crawled in the ring, and I picked it up. The fans were like, go look. And I looked for the lift it up, and I'm like, it's going to be hard to see, right? Like, I'm anticipating I can just legit sell. Like, I don't have to sell. It's real that I can't see anything. I look under, and I'm like, what? I can see everything. I'm like, I turned around. I was like, oh, I have to make believe I don't see anything. Like, oh, and I threw my hands up. But, yeah.
I never really thought it was, like, pitch black.
Oh, I thought it was. I don't know why I believed.
You can see a lot underneath the ring when they pick it up, but that is pretty funny.
I really thought it was like a dungeon down there. Like, I thought it was for some reason pitch black.
You
like,
believe like you believe the kayfabe stories of underneath the ring.
Yeah, I really did. And I'm not gonna lie to you, peeking behind that curtain, you know, it broke my heart a little bit. I was just like, oh.
Because you just tell yourself that's just that FSW and everywhere else is pitch black.
That's actually what Stat Wife said. Because I brought it up. We had this conversation was this morning, so it's fantastic. All right, let's see. So
then we had Corbin and Aries, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I really like Baron Corbin, man.
He's big, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how big he was.
And that's what makes me like him. Like, he looks believable, you know, and I can believe that this guy is just a tough, thinks he's better than you guy, and he's going to prove it or do his best too. And I think yesterday was a little bit like he just got a little too cocky and cost himself the match, you know, and let Aries crawl back in.
Yeah, that – I mean, I love Austin Aries.
Yeah.
It was great to see him. Stat Wife wasn't very excited. She's like – the quote of the night was, I know this guy. The few times you've made me watch Tits and Ass – that's, by the way, direct quotation. I've seen him, so I know who he is. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I thought you'd be more hyped, but it kind of knocked me down a peg. But
that match again, Aries is debuting. Corbin is a beast, so who knows which way it's going to go. And not for a second did I really believe that Aries was going to win. Like, when he was doing the whole, like, come on, like, come and get me, I thought Corbin was going to pick him up, hit his move, and then that was it. But no, you know, Aries had a nice counter, rolled him up, that was it.
I liked how – did you notice the moment where it was like heel Aries and face Aries were fighting each other as he was trying – as he was going – when he had that pin? Because it was like he almost instinctively went to grab the tights, but then was like, no, I'm a face, and like had to like, oh, I'm going to hold here. Like, I just thought that, I don't know. It was like a flash. Nothing, obviously nothing against Aries at all, because personally face or heel, I'd use the tights. I feel like it's whatever. That's not even cheating. That's like parking outside by a hydrant and running into the store.
Yeah.
You know, that's not cheating.
Just getting one over.
Yeah. Like, whatever. Yeah. So I really like that. Yeah, I mean, it was funny because I the whole time going into it, I really didn't think Corbin had any shot. But then when I just saw them standing next to each other, I was like, oh, he is monstrously larger than this man. Like,
how did I overlook this aspect?
Yeah, I really didn't see that. So,
but yeah, I mean, a good match, great story. I enjoyed the hell out of it, and you know, great job to NXT.
Then what else? So we've talked about the tag team.
Then we had Zayn Nakamura. which, you know, there's not really anything to say other than go out of your way and watch this match. Like, I came home from work today, and that's the first thing I put on. I just said, okay, yeah, I have to watch this match. Because it one of the best matches I've ever seen. The strong style was on full display. And EJ had a question, which was like, who can keep up with this guy? Who is going to be able to wrestle Nakamura? And, you know, I started going down the list of like, well, Rollins, Ambrose, Zayn, Owens, Neville, Balor.
But Ziggler?
Ziggler. Like, and then I said Cena because I'm confident in Cena's ability to step up with whoever. But other than that, like, is Nakamura versus The Miz? Are you kidding me? You know, like, Nakamura might kill The Miz.
Well, you know, I mean, there's certain guys, like, okay, I would say, like, don't work ever with Ryback, but, you know, with with Miz, you know, the one thing that Miz has going, I guess, in it, it would be he's a heel, so he would do something heelish to gain the upper hand, you know, like, and eventually...
It's just literally two different worlds. Like, The Miz is strictly WWE and, like, nothing else. And, you know, Nakamura is this, like, real type of fighting style. Like, really quick pace, strong strikes, knees, elbows, forearms. It's such a clash of styles that it would, like, stand out too much. So, you know, he doesn't ever have to wrestle The Miz, but I'm just saying, like, those type of strictly WWE guys, it's really going to stand out.
Yeah, their styles are in a clash, I think.
Yeah. You know, like, he can, speaking of, he can wrestle Styles. He can wrestle Samoa Joe. There's a lot of guys he can work with, but that's like the next generation of stars. What about the guys who are also there now? You know, like, that's the tough part.
Do you think we saw Ibushi and Bobby Roode in the crowd? Is that a lock?
Under contract. Yeah, under contract.
Yeah.
What are you, nuts?
Ibushi, though? I didn't know that he was under contract.
They were in the crowd, like, when we were at NXT and SummerSlam, and Ric Flair was in the front row for one match next to who? Asuka. And then when the match ended, then it was somebody else in that seat. Then when the match ended, then it was somebody. So, like, they're planting those people there. You know, like, it was Scott Hall and X-Pac were in those seats.
You don't think they really bought those seats? Yeah.
You know, then it was JR and Ibushi, and then it was Bobby Roode. So those guys are locked, under contract, done deal. Like, I heard as soon as Nakamura was signed, he was pushing for Ibushi. And so he's going to be in the Cruiserweight series. Him versus Zack Sabre is, you know, should be crazy. And they even had an interaction on Evolve. So Ibushi went right to Evolve. So, I mean, you know, WWE's had quite a relationship with them over the past couple months. So, you know, it's just only a matter of time, really.
So then we're Asuka Bayley.
Started out a little bit slow. Crowd was a little bit drained.
Yeah, that's...
They picked it up.
It's the NXT problem. Yeah. Man, I love those. I can't wait to see those... You guys can't hear this, but I'm doing
or
the.
Or see this.
I don't even. I mean.
The blow up gas car the wash. Cars,
yeah. Man, those guys are the best. Yeah. I can't wait to see that on Monday Night Raw because I feel like they have a lot of them now, but like I want like double the amount of
They'll
those.
They'll probably like, be just, like none because no one cares about the Divas on Raw.
I mean, if you remember at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, I popped hardest for those things. Yep. I was like,
probably the most you'll ever see until like WrestleMania, you know?
Oh, man.
WrestleMania would be sick. Like, I'm just, But I don't know when Bayley comes up. You know, I don't know if they need, well, they do, but I don't know if they need her right now. Maybe she could stay in NXT for a little bit, SummerSlam or something come up, but. I wouldn't be surprised if it's tomorrow or soon.
I mean, I'd like to hear her say something like, it's not the four horse divas, it's the four horse women. Yeah. Oh,
well, that could also be a Shane thing, but we'll see. But yeah, hell of a match. I really enjoy that. I really like Asuka's character, you know, the like, oh, she's going to smile at you and kill you. Like, that's a cool little aspect to her. because it goes with the outrageous gear and the flamboyant colors and everything.
That gear must be so hard to make. I was like looking at it, like there's so many really different parts to it.
Yeah, it's really strange, but she's a beast, man. And I really like the end sequence where, you know, Bailey stood up and then just she brought her right back down. She passed out. That was done to perfection. And it's so perfect that it was Bailey, you know, the perfect face.
Yeah, she really is. I was talking to the stat wife about when Bailey comes up to the main roster and she gets to see more of her. I was like, it's over. I was like, you're just going to cry all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and she's
yeah.
like, no. And she's like, why you say that? And I'm like, just watch. Yeah. I'm like, the interaction with all the little girls and everything.
Yeah, Bailey is the Sami Zayn of the Divas. Like, to a grander scale, too.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to say.
Yeah. And then we had our main event, which, you know, got slowed down by the headbutt and the blood, but was still a fantastic match and told a good story. I think the blood even added to it a little bit, other than them having to stop it every couple of minutes. But
I mean, what do you feel about – okay, you're on the network, right?
Yeah, but he was, like, gushing.
All right. I just –
like that wasn't sweat blood. That was like real blood. You know, like it was dark on his face.
Yeah. All right.
Like that's, you know, like then if it gets in your eye, you can't see. So I like them stopping it because I like that. It's boxing. Like it provides a little bit of realness to it. And then, you know, it keeps coming or whatever. But I didn't mind it because it was a real thing. Like what can you do? You know?
Yeah. I just feel like you're I don't know.
I get what you're saying. It's just tough.
It's when 10 o'clock at night. It's so much. On the network, and you have like basically a bunch of like 25 to 35 year olds.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they did it because they were scared of showing blood. They did it because he was bleeding so much. Yeah. You know, like it wasn't because he was sweating. Like that was just that kept coming.
All right.
I mean, and now, like. It kind of just set in when I was about to say, now we move on to WrestleMania because neither one of us has anything to do until WrestleMania. And it's kind of crazy.
I can't. This whole weekend. I mean, it's only Saturday. It's 4 o'clock on Saturday right now as we tape this. It'll be out and shortly after we finish so you guys can listen to it. You know, tonight maybe you can listen to it while maybe you'll be listening to it while you're watching Hall of Fame and there's just like action, you put it on. I can't. I mean, just from when I left work yesterday and then I went to the FSW show and then I came home and I watched NXT and I woke up and I watched NXT and I go to work and I come home and now we're podcasting and then what? By the time I'm gonna finish putting up the podcast and then like the Hall of Fame induction thing's gonna start. I don't know. I kind of want to take NyQuil after the Hall of Fame induction and just not wake up to like – what time does the pre-show start tomorrow?
5 o'clock.
It's 5?
I
want to sleep till – I'd like to sleep till about 4:45. I want to wake up and just like I'm going to go to the bathroom and WrestleMania.
Yep.
I can't even
– And now here's the thing. WrestleMania is legitimately 7 hours long, right? No, 6 hours long.
Because the post-show, I don't know.
No, 6 hours long. The pre-show is 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there are 4 matches on the pre-show. 4.
So I heard that they might be changing something.
So at least 1 full hour is matches. You know?
Pre-show.
That's what I'm saying. But so there's 2 hours of the pre-show. Yes, some of it will be nonsense, but at least 1 hour of it has to be entrances, matches, you know? So it starts at 6 o'clock.
It's actually such a packed pre-show that I feel like they should have a pre-show for the pre-show.
Starting an intro to the pre-show matches to the pre-show. Ugh.
Like, why not? I could do an hour of straight, just like full background on every match. And there's so many matches that they could do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to the wrong person because I could clearly do that for 2 days. Like, you just show me everything from these angles. But
Man, using they should go back to using the WWE app and do like an hour of just like Jeopardy style wrestling trivia. Imagine an hour of Jeopardy style wrestling trivia before the event to get you hyped.
That would be great if they did something like that, like win a trip to WrestleMania by, you know, in this trivia contest. Like,
I don't even know what I would do.
You know, like, we would win that shit.
That WrestleMania encyclopedia is going to come in handy once more. I mean, wrestling WWE encyclopedia. All right, so
I mean, yeah, we'll get started with the pre-show. So last week, right, we discussed who that fifth diva was going to be. And during that conversation, I was going to say Eva Marie, but I was like, no, or maybe we did. But, like, people hate her. So there's no way she could be with the faces. You know, yes, it makes sense she's on Total Diva, but people dislike her so much that you can't put her with the good guys. And that's exactly what they did. The crowd shit all over it. And now, where are we?
But hold on. Because, all right, are you going to tell me that all the divas are so good at selling? And I like them. But that after when she came out, their reactions to her were just based off the crowd? Like they immediately picked up on it and shunned her?
No. I think that's where this is going.
Yeah, it's got to
afterwards because they all just looked at her like, wait, what? Why are you? And she was like more hyped than any of them. So yeah.
It got shit on, but I actually don't. I would call that they got the heat they were going for. I think they knew what they were doing. It's Brooklyn. You know that they're going to
No. Yes, but she has X-Pac heat. She has I don't like you, you suck heat, not like I'm going to cheer against you. So, you know, that's the difference. Yes, they achieve what they were going for. They achieve what they were going for because it's not hard to do that. Like, you know, people are going to boo her anywhere. So I get it. It's okay. We'll see what happens. I can easily see her costing the good girls and aligning herself with Lana because that would just make sense. So, you know, whatever.
Team Bad, Blonde, and...
Bad and Blonde. I don't mind that. That's a cool little...
Because Eve is bad. Because, right? Eva Marie is bad. Not Eva Marie. Yeah, Eve. I can't keep it straight anymore. Too many Evas. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I think the faces go over there, or do you think that she costs
them? Yeah. I want to say that the heels win, but if it's Bree's legit last match, show, whatever, you know, but I don't know. It's the pre-show, so who really cares? I think Lana and them kind of need to get a win, and it would make sense if Eva turns on them. So I'll go with the heels.
Because maybe Bree is it really Bree's last match at Mania?
She's done at Monday.
Like she's so like I don't know. What if like she is angry and her last match on Monday is her and Eva Marie?
Yeah, but what is she gonna have like a retirement match? Like you know, so like Eva Marie costs her the match, and then she gets mad and they have like a loser leaves town and Bree loses.
Yeah, they wouldn't. That would be interesting.
It definitely would be, but you know, you don't have to go out on a win, and she's not like Ric Flair, where she's not a superstar.
Yeah,
but you know, it's just a nice kind of gesture.
Giving someone the rub before you go out would be a good move.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it would be hard for them to get the win at Mania, and then still have like beef.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe they get the win at Mania. And then tomorrow, it's like, oh, we got the win because of me, not because of you. And then they have some type of match. But I'll still go with the heels here because of Eva Marie costing them.
Just to be a contrarian, I'll go with the faces.
All right. Then we have the Usos and the Dudley Boys. I mean, the Usos are going to win.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand... See the idea that there's nothing going on for this match, that there's nothing on the line,
except the $30.
But I'm okay. Like, why does there have to be something? You know, like I feel like they just have beef. No,
who the Usos and the Dudleys?
Yeah. So like, I don't. I've read other places and stuff that people are like, this is like a kind of a waste of a match. And I'm like, it's not. Like, it's a tag team match because the guys have been feuding.
Exactly. I get that, like, sense. But, yeah, they couldn't be more wrong because, exactly, like, not every match can be for the title. Sometimes they just have to be because I don't like you, you know? And you stand in my way.
And I think the complaint with the tag team division for a while was that it was weak and you only had – you know, a couple of teams. So now you actually...
But we still have those same couple of teams only because it's still the Usos. But I get what you're saying. At least there's another... there's two tag team matches, you know, kind of, on the show. So I like that. And the Dudleys and the Usos are both good teams. Gonna put on a good match. So it is what it is.
Have there been any updates about the Battle Royal participants?
No, I don't believe so.
Because, like, Strowman hasn't been announced, right?
No, none of the Wyatts, I don't think.
So I just don't know, like, what happens, you know? Like, who's going to win it? Is Big Show going to win it again?
No.
Mark Henry?
No. It's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be any of the guys that they've been telling us it's going to be. You know, I think that's kind of the whole point. Like, Big Show won it last year. If he wins it again, then you might as well kill yourself. What's the point of having the Andre the Giant Battle Royal if, you know, I get it, the biggest guys are supposed to be the winners, but that's – I think they're keeping Strowman and them away from it. I think even though it's only, like, Strowman and Rowan.
Rowan, now.
But – I still think it'll be Strowman who wins this, unless they give us some type of surprise, but it's the Battle Royal, so why would you do that?
Like Eric Young.
Well, like, I was thinking Bobby Roode, but maybe.
Man, if they have Roode and Young locked up.
I feel like they would have shown them both together. Maybe they're just not signing Eric Young. Maybe that was just his own thing. I don't know. But I heard they are interested in him, so maybe they are just bringing him in on his own. Maybe they'll bring them in as rivals instead of friends.
Stat Dog disagrees with you.
Yeah, clearly.
We have a lot of stat people in this half of the podcast. Stat babies crying in the background.
Then we have Ryback and Kalisto for the U. Did you give a prediction for the Battle Royal?
No, I mean, I thought it was Strowman. The reason I was asking because I wanted to know if he was formally announced.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't believe so. Truth, Gold Dust, Big Show, you know, Social Outcast.
So many people who you know are going to lose.
Yeah, everyone.
I mean, it would be amazing if one of the Social Outcasts won.
It just comes down to the four of them.
Just to give them some, I don't know.
Just to be different. Like, it's the pre-show. Who cares? Like,
Once you put it there, you made it.
But I get it. You want to keep it a semi-serious thing and meaningful. But, you know, it can have its moments.
All right. And then Kalisto.
We have the U.S. Yeah, the U.S. title.
The big guy.
I would be... like perfectly okay with Ryback just killing Kalisto.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Just straight squash.
But I feel that I don't know. I mean, see, now this is another part of it that I don't know. An hour of the pre-show is going to be on USA Network,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't. Does that? I feel like it might impact the way they book that match.
Why?
Like, if it's on... Okay, because if you get Ryback title change, right? And it's and that's on the USA Network. Then, I think that's if for some reason somebody's watching the pre-show in USA... and hasn't already got the network, maybe, you know, because, you know, the way they think sometimes is like, we need to get like a couple more people to sign up, you know, which is like ridiculous.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Because I feel like if it was on the main card, I think Kalisto would have had a possible, well, no, wait, here's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I think that if it was on the main card, then you give then Ryback wins. Now, I don't know, maybe you don't have a title change. Maybe you just have the little guy being the big guy, and it's and they keep going with the angle after.
Wait.
I'm going back and forth. I don't know.
You literally just said because it's on the pre-show, that means Ryback is going to win. Now but you
what
just
if,
said
what if
because it's on the pre-show, that means Kalisto is going to win.
Because it depends what hour it's on. If it's on the USA hour, I see a title change.
Well, I think most of, or if not all of the matches will be, it's either going to be all the matches on the pre-show or all of the talk on the pre-show. But I don't really think
they're going to split it.
It okay. matters. I think that would make sense.
So who are you going with here?
Ryback. Kalisto has had it for a little while. He hasn't really done anything. Ryback is in a new character. He's trying to prove he's a beast. So why not give him the U.S. title? Put it on a big guy or the big guy and, you know, let him have a run. I've liked this new character for Ryback.
I just feel like it would, for me, the feud would be a little bit more effective if Kalisto keeps it, possibly, right? And then, see, I'm going so back and forth on this. Part of me thinks Kalisto keeps it, and then, you know, to prove Ryback that he could win over him, and then Ryback destroys him the next time. Or maybe they're just push Ryback, actually just have him destroy him.
Yeah, I think that's
all right. Let's go with the right back. I'm going to go with the right back now.
I think you can talk yourself into either way, you know, because the story is it writes itself either direction.
All right, I'll go. I'll officially on record go with
the big guy.
Yeah, right back.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, what's the first match of the night?
Now we are on to the 4 hours where, wow. We will be in a fog, quite literally. The first match has to be the IC title, no?
Yeah, okay.
It should be, but it could be any match.
But see, the thing is, okay.
Okay. It legitimately could tag be team. Any match. It could be the tag team. It could
not
be,
Divas.
It could be the Divas. It could be the – all right, so not Divas. Okay. It could be the IC. It could be Y2AJ. It's not going to be the Hell in a Cell. It could it's not going to be Brock Ambrose. It could be the WWE title if they want to just throw us for a loop.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. It's just the idea that you're sitting at WrestleMania, the card starts, and then boom, title match. Would you like the four? Like the I don't know. I mean,
then you end it with Taker Shane.
Okay, All right. I think it's IC title match. I believe that's going to be a contender, but I could see it being the tag team because I think New Day is going to get such a crazy pop, especially since they're inducting. They would have inducted the Freebirds the night before,
but they're losing.
Well, perhaps we're in a disagreement there. I don't feel like they're losing.
So, we'll go with what we most likely agree will be. How about we go in order of just kind of match excitement.
All right. So
the Divas is first.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it works.
I don't know. I might be a little bit I think I might be a little bit more excited for the Divas match than I am for a Y2AJ.
See, that's why I said it's by default because I'm very excited about this defense. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I'm not excited about any match that's actually on the WrestleMania card. I think this match is going to be great, and I really think that my girl Sasha is going to take home the title and usher in a new era of women's wrestling.
Yeah, I don't see how there's any. Yeah, that was annoying. I had a reason though, so. anyway, I think Sasha wins, and yeah, I mean, if we're gonna like, I say by default, I guess I'll go with you on that one. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, no, Charlotte can't. Like, there's not even a no. Sasha wins. That's.
I don't know that there's no question Charlotte wins. I think she can win. I think I don't think Becky wins, but I think Charlotte or Sasha can win.
Poor Becky. Because if not for Sasha, Becky is good. You know, like Sasha.
Yeah,
just...
Becky still hasn't really won me over. But I mean, right. Sasha is just.
She's gonna boss it up, I think, and take it home.
Yeah, and it was funny. I was watching. Well, after I watched the Daniel Bryan thing yesterday, clearly I watched WrestleMania 30. So, like,
me too.
Triple H's entrance is Sasha, Charlotte, and I can't figure out who the third one is. It looks like Alexa Bliss a little, but it could be anyone. But yeah, again, it was cool. They're like, oh, there, look at Sasha with normal hair, and nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, it was like CM Punk was on John Cena's car.
Yep.
That stuff is awesome.
Yep. So we'll both go Sasha. I don't think Charlotte is out of the question, but you apparently disagree with that. Just with Ric Flair in her corner, it being WrestleMania, you have the Flair celebrating. I could see it.
Well, here's my thing. If it was one-on-one, I would side with you. But because, like, all right, so
somebody Flair can counteract Flair.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
You know, maybe that's what happens. Maybe Becky counteracts Flair, and in that, Sasha ends up getting the upper hand and winning.
Yeah, like Flair
Sasha
comes
makes a
up,
bank
like,
on it.
Like, all right, here we. Yeah, there you go. Like, Flair pulls Charlotte out of the ring. Becky goes after Flair, and Charlotte rolls her up or hits the bank statement. Yeah, I can see that. I think we just booked the finish of the match, but
excellent.
Yeah.
Sorry, we spoiled it, guys.
Yeah, so then we'll go Y2AJ, which, I mean, I am very excited for this. You know, whatever it was, a month or two ago, I said how just much I hated this Jericho, and he was boring me, and he was terrible. And seemingly, obviously, he listens to the podcast and felt he personally offended me, so he changed it up. He's been great ever since him and AJ, like, teamed up. He's just been a whole new person. You know, he's gone back to that just cocky, arrogant Jericho, and you know, that's the Jericho I know and love.
Yeah, no,
he's
that
been,
was...
he's been entertaining.
I mean, without having Ralphus and the cutoff shirt, I think this is my favorite Jericho.
On one of his podcasts, he talked about, like, one of his favorite moments was when they did the Price is Raw. And, like, so I rewatched it, and his just, like, do you remember that? They call him out, and he just comes out with, like, the frown on his face, and he just walks. And then, like, he's just, like, yelling at Bob Barker the whole time. It's fantastic. It's hilarious, man.
I love that he – and I forgot where I read this – or that he wears – like, he came back and started wearing the tights to be, like, a heel, like, because, like, you know, he thought it was, like – you know, he likes the tights better, so he wore the briefs just to kind of, like, like, you know, be like, I don't know, kind of a jerk and
be even more annoying. Yeah,
I love. What does that say about all the guys who legitimately just wear the tights and are like faces? Like, you know, like, he's kind of like slipping them like, yo, by the way, you're really annoying with those.
So I don't really think there's any way Jericho wins this. At
if Jericho. If Jericho beats AJ Styles at WrestleMania 32 after losing to Fandango at WrestleMania 29, there's something wrong in this world.
Yeah, that would really just be cruel. But Fandango was a WWE creation and AJ Styles is not. So,
oh, man.
There's always that.
But come
Jericho
on.
Jericho is not that kind of person. He knows how the business works and that he needs to put over the next guy.
Yeah.
So Styles has gotten over. The crowd has really responded to him. He's proven his worth and how good he is. So let's give him the win here. It's going to be a good match. They're going to try and steal the show. They're not going to, but they're going to try. So I'm excited for it.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. AJ wins hands down. There's no debate there.
And then I believe next on the excitement list would probably be the tag match.
Yeah.
And New Day, 3 members versus League of Nations, 4 members. Since New Day's face turn, League of Nations has really won me over. Like, really won me over. They've just been exactly what I want them to be. Like, just brutes. They've just been beating New Day up every chance they could, celebrating, throwing it in your face that we're bigger and better than you. I love that.
So, I mean, I've always kind of liked the League of Nations.
They're a perfect foil for the New Day. You know, they're just dry and, you know, whatever. And New Day is such clowns.
I just don't – I'm not sure if I really feel here that New Day loses its titles.
It's not for the tag team titles.
Really?
Yeah.
I've already even said for the. I think you said the next match is the World Tag Team Title match.
No, they said the tag team match.
Oh, all right. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was just some weird. Like I assumed it was a title match.
Remember, we discussed this. How like New Day is using three people. It would have been cool for League of Nations to have two separate teams holding the belts and switch them back and forth.
Yeah, because
some places advertise it as a title match. Other places don't. Everything I'm reading says that WWE is not advertising it as a title match. So internally it's not, which it doesn't make sense. But I guess that's how you get League of Nations over, and then maybe you have the tag match for the titles at the next pay-per-view or on Raw or wherever.
Well, then if that's the case, they definitely can't go on first.
No way.
Okay. All right, that clarifies things for me.
So either way, even if it is for the titles, if they change it or if they don't change it, whatever the miscommunication confusion is, if it's for the titles or not, I still think League of Nations gets the win. New Day, if they're faces, the faces are always better chasing. So whatever, they can play up that whateverness, funniness. League of Nations can be those vicious heels. Now the champions, they could throw it in their face. They could be cheating. They can do all that. But if it's not for the titles, I think that's even more so. New Day is outnumbered. You know, League of Nations is a lot bigger than them.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't seeing them together, you notice how even Barrett is, like, you know, just so much – I mean, not the Biggie Langston. Oh. So listen to Cheap Heat. They have, like, all the – they're, like, on Radio Row or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the New Day walks up, and he's like – oh, he's like – Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, Biggie Langston. And Biggie's like, no, man. No, not the Langston, bro. Not Langston. just Biggie. Like, for him to say that out loud, it's got to be crazy. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's good. Did they mention Greg and them last year? I hope they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Perfect. I'm hyped to listen to that.
It's pretty good. Like, you just have – like, Joe shows up, AJ Styles shows up.
Yeah, like, I saw them posting pictures. I didn't know it was out yet. Otherwise, I would have tried to listen to it.
But, all right.
Yeah, so you're going to go League of Nations?
Yeah, if it's not for the titles, League of Nations.
All right. All week at work, since now my kids like New Day, since they're good guys, I've just been walking around going, League of Nations. League of Nations.
So heel.
So, like, on Friday, like, the math teacher has this cool thing, but that doesn't matter. And so when they were answering questions, she was like, all right, walk around and, you know, give a check. So the one girl who was in the class that works there was giving checks and smiley faces. So I was like, okay, when my wrestling kids get a question right, what can I do? So, like, the one kid I drew the Seth Rollins symbol, and, like, he crossed it out. He got so mad. And then, like, he was like, oh, Jeff, when Juan gets a question right, write L-O-N on his paper. So I did, and he was like, what? And then I drew, like, a John Cena symbol. So, you know, ways I keep myself entertained. I mean, now, again, by default here, our next match on the excitement level is the IC title match. Yeah. Well, it's the WWE title match, but we'll just talk about that.
Yeah, if we have to be honest, this match might be, for me, it might be the most exciting.
No way. Not more so than Brock Ambrose or Taker Shane. It can't be.
Okay, not more than Taker Shane.
Okay. But Brock Ambrose, really? because of Zayn and Owens. Yeah.
Brock Ambrose is going to prove itself to be very good once I'm watching it. But okay. If you're asking me right now, between that one and the IC title match, if you had to miss one match, which match would you miss? I'm gonna say that I'd have to miss that.
Well, like,
there's gonna be crazy stuff going on the IC title.
That's a tough
match.
Spot to put yourself in because you don't ever want to miss Zayn. You know, ever. So like that's a given that you wouldn't want to miss that one. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I kind of like I don't want to. I'm not. I won't miss either of them, but. I'm really, really looking forward to Brock and Ambrose. So just by default here, we'll talk about the IC title match. Really looking forward to all of the guys in this match. All well-deserved. I like all of them. It should be a really fun, cool match.
Yeah, I mean, and what I wrote about in my article, my preview article for this match, was Owens has done an amazing job, or the writers. I mean, I don't know who to give more blame, who give more credit to here.
It's all Kevin Owens' show.
Of KO-mania. Of really making me feel like other than – like I think out of the seven, there are four guys that I think could really win it. And all seven matter because of what Owens did.
And all right, so I was just gonna say, would you like to rank them in order of who has a shot at winning?
Conveniently, I already did this.
Perfect. So it'll be nice and simple. But I completely agree with you. The story that they told on Monday or whatever, 2 weeks ago, where Owens, you know, fake introduced the three guys with these three subpar replacements was fantastic. And it gave Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, and Cody Rhodes, I'm sorry, Stardust, who, you know, have worked their ass off for years, it gave them a shot in this match because it involved them where they're like, wait, what? You were playing with us? Like, you think that low of us? So that was great, you know, and it gives them that reason. It gives them that moment, and it's really awesome. I'm so excited for the Zayn Owens interactions that, it's going to make me, like, not care, but basically be disinterested with, like, everything else. Like, just get to the part that I care about, you know?
So let's see. I'm going to go.
At number seven, we have – Sin Cara.
For me, it's Sarah. Yeah,
yes, 100%.
I wrote because I actually thought I think that Kalisto's in so when I wrote this, it was a couple of days ago, but I felt that Kalisto's gonna drop the title, and that this then Sin Cara doesn't win, and they're kind of like gonna go back to being a tag team. So then that's why I felt like Sin Cara is the last of all of these guys.
Yeah, I definitely think Sin Cara is last. He does not stand a chance in this match.
Then I think at number six. No, well, right, because there's seven guys. So Kalisto seven. I mean, Sin Cara seven.
Yeah.
So six. I put Stardust.
Stardust.
I think because of the, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that the picture that was leaked, whatever, him, Breeze, and Tyler Dillinger. I think Stardust character could be done. After Mania, maybe he's the one who gets carted out. You know, like somebody always gets like thrown, maybe. You know, pushed through something, and maybe the knock on the head, and he's back to Cody. I don't know, something
maybe
weird,
that's cool. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then there, you know what I could imagine. I don't know if they'll do this, but they're in Dallas. I feel like that's like dusty country in a way. What if like he gets eliminated and gets hurt and then comes back on Raw, comes out as Cody? Like he'll get a huge pop.
Well, but not if you want to make him a heel.
Oh.
But okay. He could be. And at number five?
See, I guess Zack Ryder.
Nope.
You have Miz.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And here's why. Because if you're going to give somebody a, like, what? It's going to be Zack Ryder instead of The Miz. You know, Zack Ryder is going to have that moment where he's climbing that the crowd is going nuts. Miz is not going to have that moment. So just strictly because of the crowds, like Pop Santino, you know, it's like that. God, like that Santino being at the end of the Rumble or Elimination Chamber. It's like that, you know. You know that guy's going to get a good reaction, so you're going to put him in some good spots. I just hope this lasts for Zack Ryder. You know, he's had some good singles matches. He's had some good promos. Like, give this guy a shot. Put him on the show. What the hell? You know?
I bet you Vince is probably pushing him now because he's like, oh, you see, he's together with Emma? Good choice. All right. You know what?
Yo.
That's the first good decision you made since you joined this company.
That could be – no, it would be like, wait a minute. Who's that guy with Emma? Hire him. Oh, wait. He's already on our roster? Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's use him because he doesn't know who he is. Oh, that's a good one, man. Because we know how much Vince likes to get involved in people's relationships. That's fantastic.
I gotta give him credit where credit is due. Just a fine piece of ass.
Man, this guy's got some balls on him. He's got some grapefruits. Let's push him to the moon.
I mean, this guy's buried getting dark matches. He's going after this hot piece of ass. I don't get it.
That's good stuff.
All right, so. So you have Miz at five. I have Ryder. I understand why you have it there.
Yeah.
I just.
So yeah. So 4 or 5 are the same, just swapped.
Miz is he's a former WrestleMania main eventer, man. He's a must see champion.
There's a keyword in there, former.
All right. So then that leaves us with what am I?
Ziggler, Zayn, and Owens. All right. So I believe is that order.
Ziggler. Yeah.
I mean Ziggler, then Zayn, then Owens.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the finish. To me, the finish has to be the way Benoit. Hold on, Chris Benoit. This one guy.
Ben Voldemort.
Ben Voldemort. The way Ben Voldemort lost to Edge when he was like about to grab it and just got like brutalized with the chair on the shoulder.
Okay, yes.
Like, it has to be like
yes.
The crowd, everyone, the entire world needs to see Kevin Owens fuck Sami Zayn over. Not win the match. Like, he needs to fuck Sami Zayn over and then win the match.
Yes, I like, as you were saying, I was trying to think of a way, like, I was waiting for you to finish so I could say, you know, Zayn is climbing the ladder and Owens just kills him. And you said it perfectly. Maybe there's a table somewhere or maybe he just hits him with the chairs. He's got to do something to just take Zayn out, make everyone feel bad for him, and make everyone know that it's about these two and not everyone else. And that's another thing that I think is good about this match is all six of them have a reason to hate Kevin Owens, but the other five guys are you've been taught that they're background players. So yeah. Owens and Zayn should stand out among them, you know, if they won't get lost in the shuffle. There's not six other superstars in there with them. Yes, Miz, Ziggler are big time names, but you know, they're undercard guys at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, that's I think Owens walks away with it.
Yeah. KO-mania, I think it gives him such a good platform to brag on and just talk shit. So it sets up every story. You know, he can feud with these six guys for the next 6 months, you know, to a year. He could just feud with each one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think Owens wins. He goes on to feud with Zayn. He goes on to feud with Styles. It, you know, then all that gets intertwined. So I think you need Owens to hold on to that.
All right. By the way, is the Divas match is just a one pinfall, right?
Mm-hmm. I do not believe it's elimination, no.
Okay.
So now of the three main events, I'm talking about Triple H Reigns now. Because it's of those three matches, it's the one that I'm least excited about.
Okay.
But I am still excited for it, and I won't shit on it. I do enjoy Roman Reigns. I hope that the crowd doesn't just boo it out of the building. That's fine if they boo Roman Reigns and cheer for Triple H. I just hope they don't shit on it. Don't go into business for yourself. Don't start a wave and doing all that. It's the main event, one of the main events of WrestleMania for the world title. Just make this feel meaningful. You know, that's all you have to do as fans. That's your job.
Yeah.
But now, on that note, I don't see how this closes the show. Do you agree? Do you think that it does? What do you think?
One of our longtime listeners actually sent in a WrestleMania card preview and had an interesting idea where they're like, The Rock is out there like supporting Reigns towards the end of the match, and basically Reigns is getting frustrated and ends up getting distracted by Rock a little bit, gets hit with a pedigree, and then Reigns attacks Rock, spears him through the timekeeper's area, and he leaves like just destroying everything as a heel.
That would be cool. Or you have the WrestleMania 9 ending where Rock comes out to help Roman Reigns, he loses, Triple H starts popping shit, Rock wins the WWE title to close out WrestleMania.
Yo. Like, when that happened, just on a side note, at WrestleMania 9, I was so happy. But every year that I watch WrestleMania over again, it makes me want to vomit that Hulk Hogan had that pull. Like,
I don't want to win the tag team titles. I want the world title.
Like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It just...
Yeah. Just putting yourself over.
And Mr. Fuji, you've known Hogan for how long? Why would you even do that?
He thought he had him.
It would have been great if suddenly Fuji breaks character and goes, "No, you're Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania.
I get it that you're supposed to believe that like all the bad guys are stupid, but like it would be great if they were just like, "No, what do you? You always win. What are you stupid? I'm not fighting you."
Like, imagine somebody comes out to challenge Undertaker for the WrestleMania spot. It's like, you know what? I want you one on one, the Monday night. After WrestleMania. Like, why? Well, come on, man. It's WrestleMania. I mean, I could beat you on Raw, but, you know, I'm not going to beat you at Mania. That would be amazing. I don't know, man.
I agree. I don't know what to expect from this match. I don't really know what to say. Have you heard that it's being advertised as a no DQ?
I've heard rumblings of that, but I feel like I can't confirm everything. So... I didn't buy it completely.
I'll be okay with that as long as it's not too much. You can't have Ambrose, Brock, no DQ, and like all craziness, and then have Triple H Reigns be a similar brawl. And, you know, I get it. That's been the build, is they've both been brawling, and so it makes a lot of sense. So I'll be fine with it. It makes sense to be a brawl because they're not going to have a catch-as-catch-can wrestling match.
No.
So,
but I mean, the guy at the deli was like bad mouthing Roman Reigns, which I thought was amazing. Like, he barely watches wrestling. He's like, "What has that guy done, man? Why is that guy done? Why is he going to get the title?" He's like, "No, man." So he said he thinks Seth Rollins comes back and does something to cost Reigns.
I mean, it would be a good idea to have some type of finish schmozzy work kind of thing in this. I don't know. I really don't know what you do.
Or the most amazing thing ever, and Cena comes back only to turn heel at Mania and help Triple H keep the title.
Oh, and the crowd would go crazy. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
Does Cena turn heel by helping Roman Reigns win?
Yeah, well, Cena can't turn heel because
he's finally heel.
Everyone boos him anyway. Yeah, then everyone would just boo him and Roman Reigns.
They would be the best faction.
I don't know. I think I'm going to say Triple H wins. He controls the belt. Shane controls Raw. You have that. You give Triple H maybe some more feuds. I don't know. Maybe like you can't keep Reigns chasing it, though. This is 2 years in the making.
Here's the thing. If it's the last match, Reigns wins. I'm sorry. Like, I don't.
But everyone's going to boo. Like, I get what you're saying. You're trying to end WrestleMania on the high note, but I don't think that would end it on a high note. That's going to end it on a like, ugh. Which Vince isn't shy about doing either.
Yeah, because here's my thing. I'm kind of starting to realize this a little bit more. All right? Reigns is a good guy. He's supposed to win. He's been... Right? I mean,
yes, 100%.
If it's anyone but Roman Reigns and you just Sorry. Computer is giving me a message. You know, if it's anybody with Roman Reigns and you just write the story out, it's got to be the face. And I know it hasn't played out that way, but I used to kind of despise people at events who root for good guys when I'm like, you know, when for faces, and I'm sitting there going like, what are you, 8 years old? Do you not realize that the better guy is the heel? But, you know, part of the fan's role is almost, right, like you're supposed to boo the heel and cheer the face, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if technically speaking, if you were to go watch your friend wrestle and he's a heel, right, to really, like, help him in a way, right, you should boo him, right? Because that's the reaction he's supposed to get. I don't know.
Yes, but I cannot in good conscience be a grown man at a wrestling show fake booing people. Like,
oh, I can't do that. Sam Roberts does, but I can't do that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't be like, oh, boo, Kevin Owens, you suck. Oh.
Yeah, but it's not just about you.
Like, oh, man, this guy's fantastic.
You're different. But, you know, like, oh, I don't know, the women's children. Roman Reigns, it's a kid's show, right? Didn't he say that the other day?
Yes, I 100% agree with you. But in a crowd of 90 to 100,000, you're not going to have well, – you're going to have a lot. But you're going to – they're going to be outnumbered – or out volumed by the grown men who are cheering for Triple H and not Roman Reigns. And that's got to be a scary thing to have that as your main event, not knowing what crowd you're going to get and not knowing if this crowd could legitimately just shit all over that match. What if they just start doing the wave and chanting CM Punk? That would be horrible for them to end WrestleMania. They don't want that. They want, even if it's not ending on a happy note, they want you ending on some type of excitement, not bored out of your mind, just, you know, chanting reckless things.
Man, I want to, as big of a Punk fan as I am, I literally, every time I want to find the person who starts it and just pummel them. Just straight. Like, I want to beat someone until like there's like pieces of like their face between my knuckles.
Jeez,
it's getting me that angry at this point.
Nah. Yo, it's
been
over
two fucking years.
Yep, he's gone. Give it's over. Like, just yeah, let it go. If he comes back, great. He comes back, but he's not coming back anytime soon. So I don't know.
Like, I like CM Punk, and I'm actually starting to hate him.
Yes, yes.
Because I hear the chants.
Yep.
Why not? Be funny. Just go, I am drunk. I am drunk. Which would be close enough to CM Punk, but then still, but then not saying. Stop. What is he? Is he Beetlejuice? Is he just going to show up? Like, you say his name three times? If everybody in the crowd chants his name, he's going to come down the aisle. Shut up. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I mean.
That's been welling up inside. That last episode was Virgil. This episode, it's the CM Punk chants. I can't. I'm. Yeah, you're right. The match would be it would be horrible for that to happen. If anyone out there is going to Mania and you're near the person who tries to start the CM Punk chant. Just,
I mean, you know it's going to happen at some point. Just hopefully it doesn't happen during the show.
I don't want to be. I don't want this to be in a court of law, but just make sure they stop it.
I don't know, man. It's a struggle to find a spot to put this if it's not at the end, because then it has to be towards the end. Maybe right before Taker Shane. I don't know. But I don't know how you end it. Maybe they surprise us. Maybe they get the crowd to buy into Roman Reigns somehow through the match, and you know they're able to turn it for him. I don't know, but
I mean, do you think the post show will do anything to tie into, like,
it might?
They never do a post show ever for anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, they used to when they first started. They had one every pay per view, but then they just stopped doing it. They just did the pre show.
Oh,
they used to have the post show for like half an hour or 20 minutes, and then they would just recap, have some interviews, and then it would be it. Like, they used to do it for Raw.
I don't know why I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe, I don't know. if maybe they're using it for that reason. We could,
maybe.
This could go on for days.
To set something up for Monday, or, you know, I don't know. I guess just give people more WrestleMania to watch.
It's great because this is the one of the matches I don't know who's going to win because of the terrible options available.
Yeah.
Whereas like the other matches, like I don't know who's going to win because it's just amazing.
Yep.
So, final call. Who are you picking?
I'm going to say, and I'm going to be wrong, I'm just going to say Triple H.
All right. I'm it's got to be Roman Reigns. It
definitely has to be.
And the only way it's almost like, do you remember when Lex Luger, it was like he's going to win the title? Or maybe in 94 against Yokozuna.
He just never won it.
He won by count out. Like, it's just, they were like, yo, you know what? This is a terrible idea. You know, unless that happens to Reigns, I don't, at this point, they've already kind of done that. It's got
to
be him.
Maybe they push him to that limit where he snaps.
Maybe he wins and then defends the title on a house show and gets injured and he's out for like 10 months and then we don't have to talk about him.
Well,
and worry about it.
I don't hope that, but, you know. I do agree with you that Reigns wins, but I would like to see Triple H hang on to it. So we'll see what happens.
Triple H,
we watch. And I mean, right. For me, this is the match that I'm most excited about, but we'll talk about it first. Brock and Ambrose, I'm ready. I'm ready for this match.
See, it's weird because I know I'm going to enjoy it and I know it's going to be great. I'm just not – maybe like this – maybe all this talk is going to – I have no emotional tie right now to it.
Yes, I can see that. But I also don't know what to expect from Taker Shane. What if it's bad? I don't
see. Cause I know think that Rock, match is going to be so crazy.
I think so too. I really do. But
I think Shane may
die.
It's
such an odd pairing and a crazy stipulation that I don't know what to expect. I think it's going to tear the house down. It's going to be great, but I'm not positive of that. It could be terrible, but Brock Ambrose is going to be a war.
I mean, they have to bleed, right?
I don't know.
How do you know someone's? How do you know if someone is hurt if they're not bleeding? I don't know. I really like Ambrose now.
Yeah, man. He's like, I've loved him from when he was in FCW, but like
he annoyed me. He, you know, his when he first became the Lunatic Fringe, I was really annoyed by his Lunatic Fringiness.
By the Lunatic Fringe, yeah.
But, you know, and now see, he's more.
Have you watched, like, you watched the Table for Three? Did you watch the car ride with Ambrose and Reigns?
I didn't get to watch that.
Okay, so that episode was probably one of the funniest ones by far.
Really,
they were great. They were hilarious. They were good. And Fox and Paige are just retarded. So. It was a really funny episode, but like that's just who Dean Ambrose is. Like he's just nuts. He's just that kind of quirky, strange guy, and it makes me so much more invested in his on-screen character because that's just how he talks and that's how he acts in normal life. So I love it because there's nothing that is out of the question for him.
Well,
I love that character.
But now, because I feel like when he first started the Lunatic Fringe, they were trying to catch him. They were trying to show him be Lunatic Fringy, and I think it was too much.
I think that's but that's because they're trying to get it over. But
yeah, I know.
I also think maybe you didn't have the background like on Ambrose that I tried to like get when I was watching him in FCW, like when he was Jon Moxley and the stuff he was doing in FCW and when he tried to fight the feud with Foley and they had all that stuff and with William Regal. So like I knew that he was nuts from everything that he did previously. So like when they started pushing the Lunatic Fringe, it was like, okay, this is just their whack name for it. You know, like I always knew that was his character. So even in the Shield, even wherever, he still played that character. He was always the crazy one.
True.
You know, so like I don't mind it. Yes, they throw it down your throat, but they do that so that you never forget it. You know, yes, it makes us sick most of the time, but I get why it's done.
So who do you think?
I'm going to say Ambrose just purely with my heart.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
The Paul. All right. So over since the 21-1, right, when Paul Heyman said this is a spoiler, he in interviews and stuff, he said like, well, now you believe me. So the next time I say it and it's not true, it's going to mean something. And I feel like that's the time. He said it, you remember it, and now is the time when it's not going to happen. And you're going to be like, oh, shit.
I mean, there's a part of me, because I want Dean to win, there's a part of me that is scared that he doesn't need to win as much as just need to look amazing.
Yeah, but then you put him in that Bray Wyatt category, and that's not a good place. He's nowhere near that, but if you keep having him in his character is concrete, so it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, then you get in the Wyatt's area, because that was their whole thing. You know, wins and losses don't matter, I just have to win the war, but he never does. So that's the thing. You have to keep that out of there. A loss to Brock doesn't mean anything. You know, it really doesn't, because he's the beast, and he's kind of the new version of The Undertaker. He's dominant now at WrestleMania. Yeah. He broke the streak, and now he's always going to have that over him at WrestleMania. So I don't know. I can easily see Brock like straight just squashing him like he did to Cena, but that's not going to happen.
No.
Ambrose is going to fight his ass off. He's going to use the weapons. I think he finds a way to keep Brock down, and that's kind of crazy because I don't think Brock has lost since he came back. Or like he lost to Triple H, he lost to Cena, that was it.
You think so? No pin? You think like maybe?
No, I think he gets pinned.
Okay, I thought you meant like maybe.
But that's what I'm saying. Like he hasn't gotten pinned, you know, since those matches with Cena.
That's crazy.
So you know, like without even realizing it, like they've. Well, I mean, obviously they realize it, but they have something really special in this Brock character because he's not there, and it's so meaningful when he does fight. You know, especially now at WrestleMania. Like we said, with him breaking the streak, I just think it's going to be a hell of a match. And I'm going to be rooting for Ambrose. Like most of the time, you know, we do, but a lot of the time we don't get so emotionally invested where we're actually rooting. Like I'm going to be cheering for Ambrose.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy for you to say, because I'm normally the one who's actually rooting for someone like Sami Zayn all the time. So this is it's refreshing to hear that you might get your heart broken like I do a lot. I almost want Brock Lesnar to win just so that I could like look over now and see you go like, ah.
Because like Ambrose is one of those guys that I've always liked. So, you know, like now he's the babyface. So that's rare that happens. No one I like is really a babyface ever.
By the way, I'm going through I'm sorry, because I was just flipping through the write-up for the WrestleMania card that our listener Adam sent. And my favorite of all of them, because I wanted to share another piece of it, was Jericho cool high octane action between Jericho and Styles. Jericho's being a bitch and uses weapons for an advantage.
I like that he went from high octane to being a bitch. Yeah. Very scientific, because, you know, to very just straightforward.
Just made me feel like, you know, the way we're talking about how, you know, you care about this one, just, he really does care. You know,
like the kids in wrestling or teenagers sometimes are just so entertaining because they buy in and they believe that these guys are just, they don't know any better. They know, not, you know, I'm not saying this is Adam's case.
No, but yeah.
This happens with the kids at my school a lot, where just they believe, they just like the good guys, and now they hate, like they love the New Day now because they're just the good guys and they're getting their ass beat, and it's so amazing to hear what they think is going to happen. Like, one kid told me that he would have cried if his father disowned him the way Vince McMahon disowned Shane. And I was just like, yo, like, this is so amazing because that's not real. He's still his dad, but you don't, you think that that's not his father anymore. You, if anyone asks you who Shane's dad was, you'd be like, oh, well, it was Vince McMahon, but he disowned him, so I guess it's just him now. You know, like, yo, that's how you would answer the question. That's fantastic. Yo, I love that.
Do you know on Cheap Heat they were saying that somebody has been persistently changing the Wikipedia for Shane McMahon that to say that he has no father, that he's not Vince McMahon's son because of the disowned stuff?
That's great.
And like, this guy's done it, like, he's changed it like, you know, 10 times. Like, he just keeps going back and forth, like, back to change it. Jeez. And then like they correct it and he goes back and changes it again. I think it's freaking amazing.
Maybe he really believes that it's true.
He's like, I don't know why they keep fixing this. He was clearly disowned.
I'm correcting it. God.
All right.
It's all right. So
you got Ambrose. I'm Ambrose too.
Yes, I'm going Ambrose. I think this whole story has been about Brock just killing him and Ambrose continuing to fight back. So I think Ambrose has to find a way to get the win. Maybe Brock kills him after the match, but I think Ambrose comes out the victor.
Any chance the Wyatts show up, interfere?
God, I hope not.
All right.
That would ruin this. It would ruin it.
Okay.
Stay away. You know, and I think a win for Ambrose here sets him up to be the next guy.
Yeah.
And I think that is much, much needed right now. So, you know, you use that Undertaker rub, you use the Brock monsterness, and you make a superstar. You make a guy that everyone is going to know Dean Ambrose, not, you know, just the diehard fans.
It's... By the way, on a side note, Statwife's cousin does not know who Stone Cold is. I was like, what? Okay, I don't even understand that, but fine. But the point I was trying to make is, who was the face? Was it Diesel when Stone Cold was starting to, like, really get a following?
Who was the, like, main guys?
Like, who – yeah, who was, like, the – the face of the company.
Well, he wrestled what? WrestleMania 11, did he? No.
I feel like at 12, he might have wrestled Savio Vega.
Okay, so at 12. So Brett, Sean, Diesel. It was probably still Diesel and Razor for some point in time until they left.
Because 13, who was the Undertaker? He won the title, I think, at the 13.
He was the champion. Yeah, versus Sid Vicious.
Because, you know, it just feels like, you know, Reigns is that top baby face. You know, they're trying to make him the top baby face, but it's really organically Ambrose. And I feel like that this match will go a long way to continuing that.
Yes. And that's the tricky part with this for them is I think they have to turn him heel because you have Cena and you have Ambrose, and those two are getting bigger, stronger reactions than Reigns, so he's like never gonna be that top guy. I wouldn't say never, but he could use a Rock treatment where you make him the heel and he mm-hmm. does his dastardly things and then he becomes the babyface.
And that was the worst. I was so upset when Rock went face.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is though. Timing was right. And then...
That's it, right?
Have the Hell in a Cell.
I don't know. I don't know what happens here.
I have no idea because anything can happen here. And that's the greatest thing about that.
What is that thing that you guys watch? The NCAA tournament?
Yes.
I would assume that that same notion of anything can happen, right, is reflected in that
one match, one game. Yeah,
right. It really feels like, I don't know,
I don't know, because on one hand, it makes so much sense for Shane to come in and do this whole storyline and then get the win. But it makes too much sense for Shane to come in and do this whole storyline and just get the win, you know? So I can see them doing the little swerve and having Taker win or having some. So that's where maybe this isn't the last match, because maybe you have some type of screwy finish or the run-ins and stuff like that.
Oh, man. If the Mean Street Posse runs out, I'm going to flip. Just lose my shit.
I don't think you have to worry about that one. Shrieks. Yeah, that one I think you should be okay with.
I mean, I feel like Shane's going to jump off the top. What do you think?
I don't know. Like
it's death, but I don't know, man. I feel like he...
I don't know, because after doing that on Raw, do you do that on Raw to top it, or do you do it on Raw because you can't do it on Hell in a Cell?
I think you do it on Raw to get everybody excited for an even bigger spot at Mania.
I agree, and like that's so crazy. That cell is so high now, though. Like if we see that the cell is 5 feet shorter, I think they mentioned this on Cheap Heat. If you just noticed, you know, that cage looks a little short, then you know we'll know something's gonna happen. I don't know though. It's so dangerous. And for Vince's son, like, to come back after 9 years and jump off the top of a 15-foot high cage, dangerous stuff.
That's WrestleMania, though, bro. They didn't let
Punk jump off, or you know, like they haven't let anyone jump off. Like it hasn't been done.
Okay, here I have an idea. Undertaker is laying on the table. Shane climbs to the top. He jumps off. Undertaker jumps up, catches him, and tombstones him through the table.
Yeah. Standing on a 3-foot space, he catches a 200-pound guy jumping from 20 feet in the air. Good luck.
Right into the greatest reversal in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be the greatest move ever, because it's impossible. But
I guess I know, but Undertaker's not human. So I mean he probably has that power.
Nope. Subhuman, non-human, human, it doesn't matter. No chance.
I bet you Brock could do it.
No, there, it's just too tight of a space on top of the table. If it was just like on the ground, someone super strong could. But on top of the table, you know, like the table would probably just break from sheer force.
Those tables don't like break easily.
Yeah, right. They're not rigged or anything like that. There's probably like, this has to be true. Like, there's on the table, there's definitely one of those like sliding locks where you're just locking it to place. And then when something's going to happen, you just, Michael Cole just unlocks it and then boom, it falls apart.
Huh. I didn't even think about that.
Neither did I until just now. Brilliant idea.
That would make a lot of sense.
See? I just thought about it right now. Like, oh, wait a minute. That's got to be how it works. A little trapdoor action.
Huh.
So, I think we're both going to say that Shane wins here. Mm-hmm. But how we get to that result is anybody's guess. Is there going to be run-ins? Is there going to be turns? Is there going to be returns? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Does Vince have a change of heart? Does Taker turn on him? Does Shane have someone join him? I'm throwing my arms and hands up in the air right now for all you who can't see.
I'm going to say something that's infuriating to our listeners. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know it's coming. Yep. I think that's the best way to do it, because either will sound genius or stupid. So I'm just going to say Shane wins. I'll agree with you that something crazy will happen. This is going to be a very, very good WrestleMania.
I am in complete agreement, sir.
After NXT yesterday, I don't see how it couldn't be. you know, that's Triple H's baby. And now Triple H is wrestling for the title on Mania. He's got to try and outdo it. And that won't be easy. And I might even be impossible. But the guys on this card, I trust it to put on a fantastic show. And I don't think they'll let us down.
I just can't wait. I'm almost angry that I've
like, 24
I have
hours.
I have some more things to watch right now, but like
24 hours.
I hope I can find something that's akin to what we've provided you right now, which is just a wrestle full
see like
field hour that gets this, you closer to Mania.
I honestly can't. This weekend is just such a great weekend. Like, we had NXT yesterday, right? And during NXT, after NXT, my favorite basketball team, the Boston Celtics, beat the Golden State Warriors, who I don't know if you know this, have now 8 losses on the season. And that was their first loss at home in 2 years.
That's Chris Mullin's team, right?
Yeah, yeah. Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond, Tim Hardaway. Yeah.
All right.
So they're 68-8. You know, so just to put that in perspective. So that was quite a roller coaster. We had El Clasico today, Real Madrid, Barcelona. That was a great game.
Oh, who won?
Real Madrid. We have the NCAA Final Four tonight. We have the Hall of Fame tonight. We have 6 hours of WrestleMania tomorrow. It is just one hell of a sports action weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys haven't ordered the network, don't wait till the 11th hour at this point, you know? Just
me and Rich.
Make sure you guys get that. I would actually be – I want to watch just Mean Gene talking. That's what I want. Put Mean Gene on for a straight 24-hour marathon where he's just like, guys, I'm really not joking. Please.
Please. Okay, I know I've said this for the past 23 and a half hours, but now you're really waiting till the 11th hour. He's just totally defeated. Like, okay.
What more do I have to do?
Yeah. Just order the fucking show.
Oh, if Mean Gene just cursed, I don't know what I would do. Like, I could hear my mom curse. I could hear my dad curse. I could hear a priest curse. But for some reason, I can't hear Mean Gene curse.
Yeah, it's strange to hear people like who, when you watch them, never curse, then curse. It's really, really weird. Like, wait, what? Where the hell did that come from? You guys can't curse on TV. How can you curse in real life?
And they've actually shown clips of him, like, I think some outtakes where he did.
Yep.
He's like, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, whoa, man, what?
Yep.
Because he looks like a weird, like, wooden dummy. You know, like, I don't know, like one of those, like,
just mad peaceful acts. And It's going to be an exciting, exciting show. You know, we'll be watching it together and going through these ups and downs. As always, I can't wait. We'll have a lot to talk about on next week's show. And
it almost feels like we need to almost tape earlier next week because it's going to be so crazy.
Just because we're going to have this and Raw. I mean, the Raw after WrestleMania has always, you know, the last handful of years been something, you know, special. And with the rumors of the Bullet Club and these new signings, Nakamura, Rude, who knows what happens? What if Shane wins? All hell could break loose on Monday. We don't know if there's a brand split. We don't know if guys like Nakamura, Zayn, well, Zayn's there, but Nakamura, Corbin, Joe, Balor, what's going to happen with those guys? Do they get called up? Do they get put on a show? It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're at our end. Just go through my little spiel before we finish. Make sure you guys, we're brought to you in a partnership with LastWordSports.com.
If you are listening to us now, you know where to find us.
All right.
Enjoy WrestleMania. Go enjoy Raw. Enjoy this hell of a weekend.
You guys are going to just have basically just remember that this is the podcast and this is the weekend that is just too sweet.